So, what are you waiting for? This is what we started talking about last week, and we're thinking about the Advent season. We're remembering that Advent is a time of waiting. And in fact, during our busy, hectic lives, and our lives, of course, get even busier and more hectic during this holiday season, Advent reminds us that all of our busyness, all of our work, all of our running around, all of our efforts ultimately can't give us what we really need. For that, we have to wait. We have to wait for the Lord's work in our lives. We have to wait for the Lord's forgiving of our sins. We have to wait for him to come back one day, finally, and make all things new. And so this Advent season, we're asking, what are we waiting for? We look back to Jesus' first coming. We think about God's people and their wait for the Savior to appear. We look forward to Jesus' next coming, and we look forward ourselves to the healing and restoration we'll have at that time, even as we think about the fact that even though we are waiting for Jesus, he is not gone. He is present with us through his supper, through the company of God's people, through his word, and all the gifts he gives us. So, today we're talking about healing. What are we waiting for? We are waiting for healing. Since injury, illness, and pain is something that so many of us suffer from. In fact, all of us do, more or less. I've got to be honest, though, when I was thinking about the sermon, when I was preparing this message, I was thinking, and the fact is that I have not had a lot of pain in my life. I have not had a lot of illness and injury. I think my worst illness ever, I was probably sick. I was just in bed for about a week, and then I got better. And I know certainly there are many people here who have suffered from much worse illness than that. Same way with injuries. I think the worst injury I have ever had was a little broken bone in my foot, a stress fracture in college, and that made it kind of hard to walk for a while, and I couldn't play sports for several months, but it healed, and it got better. And I know there are people here with us even who have suffered much worse injuries than that. And so I was looking for stories of people who have lived with pain. And you can find anything online these days. In fact, there's several websites that are kind of like, support groups, online support groups for people who suffer from chronic pain. And I was reading some of their stories. And so I read, for example, the story of a woman who has multiple sclerosis. And for her, the most difficult part of her day is standing up and sitting down from a sitting position, getting up and getting back down. And so her story was about how difficult it was for her to eat out, to go to like a fast food restaurant, because when she would run out of her drink, she would have to very painfully and slowly get up, get her drink, and if she got a large, jumbo-sized drink to compensate, then the staff and people like that would still kind of point at her and look at her kind of funny, and she had to deal with that. There were stories of folks with, internal kind of diseases that we might think about it, Crohn's disease and other very difficult conditions that can cause lots of pain and anguish to someone, even if it's not obvious on the outside. There were lots of folks who suffered from different degenerative conditions, whether it was an injury, maybe in a nerve or a spine, or a degenerative disease where they had this injury or this illness approach, and they knew that they were basically going to spend the rest of their life either in pain or finding maybe brief relief. And then, of course, there were also stories of depression that might come from along with this suffering that people were experiencing. A mental disease that sometimes accompanies some of these other conditions. And, of course, I think the people whose stories had to be the most frustrating were those whose symptoms were totally undiagnosable. And they had been to many, many doctors, 20, 30, 40, 50 second opinions, and yet no doctor could tell them what was causing their pain. And so never mind trying to find the source and treat their pain, they couldn't even hope to treat the symptoms. And so we're waiting for healing, all of us. And as I was reading these stories, I was thinking about what is the real problem that needs to be addressed with pain? What is the real problem that we need Jesus to fix for us? And people might have different answers to this question. Some people, for example, might answer this question and say, the problem that we have with regard to pain is really in how we react to it. So in other words, they would say, really, we just need to learn to deal with it. We need to learn to continue with our lives, nevertheless, and that is what we need the Lord's help for in our life. But I realize that's not really the question, the problem we need answered. Some might say that the problem that we have with pain is that it makes it difficult to be thankful. It makes it difficult to show peace and contentment and to be grateful to the Lord even in difficult times. And so then for them, the solution would be that we need to be more thankful somehow, I guess. Focus on the positives or something like that. And I realize that, no, that's not the problem we need fixed either. When we consider pain and illness and injury, these things that we all suffer from, some more, some less, I realize that our problem, our fundamental problem, is simply that we hurt. This is really it. It's kind of obvious. We hurt. Our bodies break down. We suffer from illnesses. We suffer from injuries that make it difficult for us to live. And actually, theologically speaking, this is what pain is. Pain is a symptom. Pain and illness and injury are all symptoms of a world that is broken. Way back in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, when God created everything and it was good, there was no pain. There was no injury. There was no illness. Adam and Eve did not feel pain. The animals in the garden did not hunt and kill one another to eat. There was none of this. Pain and illness and injury entered the world when sin did. Sin entered the world, and in fact, it's hard for us to understand, but sin so corrupted the world, broke it at its very core, that everything that was right is now wrong. And sin has, in fact, corrupted us, our very bodies, so that they now don't work right. They hurt. Nerves maybe misfire. Bones grate against one another, and all of these things that happen in us now cause these pains and illnesses and injuries. And really, the core problem we have is this corruption of sin that's in us. Sin has broken our world, and as a result, we all hurt. And we can't say, for example, that sin is a punishment for something you've done. I'm sorry, sin. Pain is this punishment for something you've done, because there are so many people who are simply born with pain, with maybe birth defects or other conditions that from their very birth they struggle. We can't say that pain is always just the result of poor decisions we make for the same reason. Pain and illness and injury, ultimately, we don't know why God allows these things to happen, but we do know that they are symptoms of a world that is broken, and we know that Jesus, a part of his work in the world, is to fix these things. This is why Jesus gained so much attention, a big reason why Jesus gained so much attention during his ministry on earth, because he healed people. Every time you read the accounts of Jesus in the scriptures, and there are crowds gathering around, there are people who are gathering to be healed. And certainly not all of his miracles were miracles of healing, but many, many of them were. And so we can think about the woman who had so much faith that she knew if she could even touch the hem of Jesus' robe, she knew that she would be healed. His power was that strong. We can think about this great story of the men who had a friend who couldn't walk, and Jesus was teaching in a house, and people were pressed around so tight that they couldn't make it in the doors of the house. And so they cut a hole in the roof so that they could lower their friend through the roof of the building so that Jesus would heal him. These are the sort of things that Jesus did. And so this is the background to our scripture reading today. Jesus has been teaching, Jesus has been healing, and so much, he is so well known, these things are getting around, word is getting around so much that John the Baptist, who is in prison right now, has heard about what Jesus is doing. And now John the Baptist, he has met Jesus before. John baptized Jesus himself in the Jordan River. And John, though, for about a year, he's been in prison by this point. He dared to criticize the king of the day, the king over the land, and so the king put him in prison. So John, we read from our scripture reading, John was in prison, and he heard about the deeds of the Messiah. And so he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who's to come, or should we expect someone else?" John has heard what's going on, and he wants to find out, because John knows he is a prophet. He is preparing the way of the Lord. He knows that God's salvation is coming, and so he wants to know, "Jesus, is it you? Are you the one who's to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus' response is really pretty remarkable if you think about it, because he doesn't really answer John's question. He doesn't answer the disciples that answer the question that John's disciples give him. Jesus says instead, he says, "Well, go back and report to John what you hear and see." He says, "The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." And he says, "Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." So John's disciples are asking the question, basically, who are you? And Jesus' response is, well, this is what I've done. Here are the things I do. This is what happens in my presence. And Jesus answered this way for a reason. When Jesus answers this way and he tells us all of the things he's been doing, when Jesus says, well, I'm the person who gives the blind sight, gives the lame the ability to walk, cleanses those who have leprosy, and so on. Jesus does two things. First is he shows that he is fulfilling prophecy. John knows all sorts of Old Testament prophecy, and everyone that day did. Jesus shows that he is the fulfillment. He is God's coming Messiah. The second thing that Jesus does is he shows us who he is. Jesus shows us what his work is like in the world. And so he fulfills prophecy. For example, Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, that says that when God's salvation comes, then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer and the mute tongue will shout for joy. Sounds a lot like Jesus' response there. Or Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. And so by answering this way and saying, well, this is what I do, Jesus is calling back to these Old Testament prophets. John's disciples would recognize this immediately. John himself would recognize this immediately. The people around him who knew the scriptures would all recognize these prophecies and say, yeah, Jesus is saying something big about himself. But even more, when Jesus answers this way, who are you, Jesus? He says, here's what I do. Jesus shows us who he is. And in fact, what it means is that healing shows us who Jesus is. Healing shows us who Jesus is and what his power is. Because remember, the problem we're talking about is not our response to pain. The problem we have is the pain itself, the injury itself, the suffering that we endure. And so Jesus, by answering this way, Jesus shows us that he is the creator. He is the Lord of life. Where Jesus goes, there is healing. It's kind of like the images where Jesus goes, the flowers bloom. Where Jesus goes, the sun shines. It's like springtime now. The birds tweet, and the whole creation flourishes in the presence of its creator. And not just nature, but people too. And so Jesus is the guy that where he goes, healing follows. Jesus says, I am the one. Who are you, Jesus? I am the one who gives the blind sight. Jesus says, I am the one who makes the lame walk. I am the one who cleanses those with leprosy. I am the one who makes the deaf hear. I am the one who raises the dead. I am the one who gives good news to the poor. This is who I am. And today, Jesus might say, since we have other terms for some of these ailments, Jesus might say, I am the one who relieves all pain and injury and illness. I am the one who cures multiple sclerosis. I am the one who cures Crohn's disease or cancers. I am the one who fixes degenerative diseases and injuries that no doctor can touch. I am the one who cures depression and mental diseases, mental illness. Jesus says, healing is who I am. You can't separate the work from the man. This healing that Jesus does shows us that he is, in fact, the Lord of all life and healing and redemption. And so this work that Jesus does, this work of healing, though, it is still hidden. Because we know that Jesus himself, he would go on and he would suffer lots of injuries and pains himself. Jesus would suffer and die. He would suffer dehydration on the cross. Ultimately, he died. He endured all this pain, but it couldn't keep him down. Jesus rose again on the third day. And when he rose again, he ascended into heaven. He left his disciples with a promise. And he said, I am going to come back one day, and when I do, I will fix all of this, finally. When I come back, I will complete my work in the world, and you will have full healing. And so Jesus' work in us is still hidden. This work of healing, we have it through the Lord's gifts, through baptism like we see today, through God's word, through the Lord's Supper. We receive healing, actually, through these things, but it is still hidden. in us. We still suffer, right? We're still waiting for that last day when Jesus returns and the whole creation will suddenly spring into new life. And all of these injuries, all of these illnesses, all of these pains will be gone from all of us. Our bodies will be made new. We still wait for this Advent season. So even as we have faith, even as we give thanks for the healing we have, we still wait for that last day. And what that means is that now you have an opportunity to be part of healing this world. You have an opportunity to be part of God's work. If what Jesus does is heal, we are the body of Christ, and we also do that work of healing in our world, however we can. The simplest way to do this is simply to support one another when we suffer, when we are in affliction. As simple as bringing meals to someone who is going through surgery in the hospital. I can say over the last few weeks, since we've had our twins, we have gotten lots of support, lots of encouragement from lots of people who have brought us meals, loaned us things we need. This is being part of God's work of healing. So you can do that. You can offer encouragement. You can sit with those people who maybe suffer. Maybe those people whose injuries, whose illnesses makes it difficult for them to get out and to see others, we can go to them. You can go to those people in your life. You can sit with them. You can talk with them, and you can offer them encouragement and remind them that this suffering is not permanent, that one day Jesus will relieve it. Whether now or later, Jesus will heal. Medical professionals, people who do that work, doctors, nurses, therapists, medical technicians, and everyone who's part of that, you have kind of a cool role in this. You actually work directly to heal, to relieve pain, to promote life and well-being in people who hurt. That's a very cool role. And yet, those of you who work in the medical field know most of all that your power is not unlimited. The tools, the techniques, the materials you have cannot fully heal us. There are some people who are beyond our means to heal in this life. And so even though you get this fantastic privilege of healing, you know that we still need healing ultimately from the Lord. And all of us, through our various vocations, everything we do, as parents, as children, as family members, as neighbors, as friends in our community, we can all promote life and well-being in the people around us. And so whatever situation you find yourself in, whatever situation you find yourself around, I should say, because if you're in the situation, you may be the one hurting. Whatever situation you find yourself around, bring healing. Mentally and spiritually, with words of encouragement and hope. Bring physical healing however you can. Support those people in their needs. This is our call as the body of Christ. As the people who are here to continue Christ's work in the world, we heal. And we do this because we know our pains will not last forever. We know we are looking forward to that last day when the Son of God returns with healing in his wings. And we know that on that day, St. Paul tells us, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable, our broken bodies must be clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. That is what we're looking forward to. We're looking to the day that's coming when the very condition of our bodies will testify to who Jesus is, and the healing we experience will proclaim that Christ is the Lord. He is our creator. He brings life and healing. And in his presence, there cannot be anything but life and healing for you and for me. Amen.